Today I'm going to talk about the non-parametric effect decomposition and its application on the trend decomposition of the HIV-AIDS incidence rate in Rakai female teens in Uganda. This is a joint work with my professor Ying Wei, John Santelli, and the postdoc Zoe Edison from Columbia University. For this talk, I will give you a brief introduction to our previous analysis on the HIV-AIDS incidence and prevalence, and our remaining questions to answer for this study. And I will briefly discuss the limitations of the existing approaches and the expansions of our method for the trend decomposition. And then I'll show you the results and the future directions. So a little bit background. Rakai in Uganda is a rural area in sub-Saharan Africa. It has a really high HIV prevalence of approximately 10%. There are a lot of studies going on to help the local people to fight against the HIV/AIDS. Rakai Community Cohort Study is one of them. That is a longitudinal study from 1994. The data is available for analysis from since 2000 to 2011. During those period of time, there are 43 communities that are continuous followed up. So, and for all the consenting residents between 15 and 49 years old, we will give them an annual interview about their health-related behaviors. And also, we will take their blood sample to test the HIV status. The participation rate is really high, both above 90%. So the adolescent health professors from Columbia University are interested to use this data set to investigate the HIV/AIDS trend in youth between 15 to 24 years old and understand what contributes to the changing dynamic in the population. So here is a little bit result from the preliminary studies. This is the HIV prevalence over the time. The red lines are the females and the black lines are the males. The dotted lines are for the 20 to 24 groups and the solid lines are for the 15 to 19 year old group. So we can tell that females are more vulnerable than the males to the virus, but their prevalence decreases over the time. Males are less vulnerable, but their prevalence remain almost the same, although we have so many interventions to help them. We can take a closer look at the incidence, and we can see there are much more noise for the incidence data, and the female teens between 15 to 19 year old is the only group that we see a decreasing HIV/AIDS incidence rate over the time. So we are really interested to understand what contributes to this decreasing trend. Can that be used to help other group and to help for our future analysis and researches? So we take a look at the risk factors, and the risk factors are also changing dramatically during the past 10 years. Here is one example of the risk factor sexual experience. The proportion of sexual experience use decreased in all age and gender group. You can see for the teenagers, this trend is very obvious. When we narrow our analysis to the female teens who are sexually experienced, we no longer observe the significant trend over time. So there are a lot of possible explanations to this phenomenon. For example, we might lose the power by excluding those observations who never have sex, or this risk factor might be the major contributor to the decreasing trend. So when we narrow it to the sexual experienced group, we no longer see a decreasing trend. Or we can guess that the association between our risk factors and the outcome might change over time as well. That might also be a limiting factors that we cannot observe here. So our research question is to quantify the relative contributions of the risk factors to the decreasing HIV-AIDS incidence trend in the female teens. When we use the sexual experience variable as an example, the question becomes, to what extent the less proportion of sexual experience use contributes to the declining HIV incidence rate. There are a lot of articles in the literature about the effect decomposition, and here is one example. It works for the two distinct populations, and it can be extended to P distinct populations. If we want to use this method, we need to dichotomize our data by the survey time. We can divide it into two groups or several groups and apply this method to our data. However, the decision of the cutoff time T is very arbitrary, and we are unable to discover the dynamic trend continuously. So what we do is to expand the existing approach to take into consideration of the longitudinal data structure. We use functional effect decomposition by treating it as a continuous function of the time t. And we use non-parametric splines to estimate the parameter, because we see the trend is not a linear decreasing trend in previous graph. So here is our proposed model. The basic setting for the outcome YIJ is the HIV AIDS status for subject I and time G. Predictor XIG here is the sexual experience, and the DIG, the person year, is the time difference between the last interview and this interview for the subject I. And the second step is to build a set of non-parametric models. So here we build a marginal trend model for the HIV incidence rate, a marginal trend model for the predictor X, and the conditional trend rate, trend model for the HIV incidence rate given X. So for the first model, marginal model for the outcome, the T, GT here is the expected log HIV incidence rate per person year and time T. It is a function of the time, and we use non-parametric spline for its estimation. For the model 2, the marginal model for the predictor X, we define PXT as the time-varying distribution of the function X. When X is categorical with K levels, then the PXT is the proportion of the subpopulation X equals to small x at any given time T, and the summation at any given time should be 1. When X is continuous, then the PXT becomes the density function and the integration is 1. So for our example, it's really easy because we have a categorical variable with only two levels. So for any given time, the proportion of the female teens who ever have sex plus the proportion of female teens who never have sex equals to 1. So when X is binary, we can use non-parametric logistic regression to model the PXT. And when X is categorical or ordinal, we use non-parametric multinomial logistic regression. When X is continuous, then we can assume certain distribution assumptions. So the model 3 is a conditional model of the association between Y and X. It is very similar to the Poisson regression, except for one thing, that the coefficients betas are no longer constant. They are the time-depending covariates. So the beta depends on the time, and we can use splines to estimate that as well. So the third step is to do the effect decomposition based on our non-parametric models. Let T0 be the beginning time, then we will get three estimated models. The first is the estimated HIV incidence rate and baseline. So the GT here is GT0, we use baseline value. The second model is estimated HIV incidence rate over the time. So T is a continuous variable, and GT is a function based on this continuous variable. And the third model, G tilde T, is the estimated HIV incidence rate over the time, assuming that the association between X and Y remain unchanged. So here you can see the coefficient here. We use the coefficient and baseline time. So the change of HIV incidence rate DT is the GT minus GT zero, and it can be divided, separated into two components. The first component is the change of HIV incidence rate due to the change of X and Y association over the time. And the second component is the change of HIV incidence rate due to the change of X distribution in the population. We integrate the first and the second component over the time, and we can get the proportions for each component in explaining the overall trend. So here are some results. We use four commonly used spline functions for the Poisson regression and logistic regression. So for our outcome, we can see the smoothing spline gives us the least AIC. So we choose that for our final model. For our predictors, for the non-parametric logistic regression, we can see the polynomial spline with degrees of freedom 2 gives us the least AIC. So we use this one as our final model. So here is our estimated HIV incidence rate over the time for the general population with its 95% confidence interval. The dot are the empirical data, and we can see our model fits the data quite good. So the second one here is the non-parametric logistic regression model for the proportions of the female teens who ever have sex. And we can see in the very beginning they remain almost the same, but in the later years they drop dramatically. So here is the estimated model for HIV incidence rate over the time in the subgroup that who are ever sex experienced. So we can still see a decreasing trend over the time. So we know that the association between our predictor and our outcome also changes. So here is the trend decomposition figure. So in the top part is the percentage of the change due to the decline of incidence rate among sexually experienced youth. The bottom part is the percentage change due to less sexual experience youth in the population. So our conclusion here is that less sexual experience youth contributes to 70% of the HIV incidence decline in the female teens. And other reasons that lead to the decline of the HIV incidence rate among sexually experienced youth contributes to another 30% of the overall change. So we might say that is the safer sex. So that's what we have done by far. We have remaining questions for the future analysis as well. For this topic, we kind of discover why the female teens have the decreasing HIV incidence trend over the time. But what can we do for the females who are over 20 years old when the abstinence does not work for them? Most of them are married or even divorced. They are under a higher risk of HIV AIDS. Our question is how to protect them when this abstinence doesn't work. The other question is that it's very interesting that we don't see the similar trend for male teens, although the their sexual experience decreased over time as well. Their HIV incidence rate didn't change over time. So what happened to them? What can we do to protect them? And from the statistical point of view, we got a point estimate, and here, so our first question is how to construct the confidence intervals for the trend decomposition. This data is very sparse, and normal approximation doesn't work. We cannot use bootstrap. So this is a hard question for us right now. If you have some suggestions, that would be great. And the second question is that we can put only one predictor into a model at a time. We can use sensory experience, we can use, for example, being a student and other variables, but only one at a time. How can we incorporate more covariates hierarchically into our trend decomposition model? So that's all. Thank you. So here we can see, this is the graph for population who ever had sex. We can see all four groups, there are less proportion of the subject that ever had sex in all four groups here. So this is the existing trend in the population already. But the HIV incidence rate for the female teens decrease, and the HIV incidence rate for the female for the male teens didn't decrease. So that's why we have this question here.
So just to build on that, are you suggesting that it's possible that this is a self-reported measure, right?
Yes.
So are you saying that it's possible that they might not be getting accurate information from males about their behavior, which might.
There do have a social pressure, but more for the females, less for the males.
Yeah.
So the test, the three stars,
is a test
between on the gender or on the age?
It's a test over the time. So treating T, so we divide, so for example, we have surveys for around 6, 7, 8 until 14, so we have the estimation for the 8 time points, and it's a time for this trend over the time. The test of the trend over the time. So there's nothing between the groups. So from my understanding about the population in Uganda, more males need to have money or some higher social economic status to find a sexual partner. So it's harder for them to have sex in earlier age. But for females, very often they have sex with older men. For example, female in their 20s have sex with males in their 40s who already have money, who have wealth. That's the major reason why the HIV, because the prevalence is much higher in males, in females than males in the teenager, young group.
Economic.
Yeah, economic reason. Yeah.
Okay, open the floor to questions to any of the speakers. General discussion.
Great.
So, Jacobs.